Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, this is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. I am joined for an end-of-year show by the Executive Director of the Paradigm Research Group, political activist, researcher, and disclosure advocate for his fifth or sixth appearance now, I think, on the podcast. Welcome back, Stephen Bassett. Steve, how are we?
Still here, Andy.
Still here. We are all still here, and we're still waiting, but we've had progress, or have we? And Stephen, that's where I love to have you on, because it was back in June we last spoke. And since then, I think the kind of couple of big milestones, we've had some hearings with Congress and the Senate. It looks like the UAP Disclosure Act language hasn't made it into this year's NDAA as of looking at reporting yesterday. But I don't think there are many folks better than yourself to kind of bring us up to speed as to where we are and where potentially we could be going. So what have your thoughts been, Stephen, since June?
Well, where we are is that people are disappointed that a fifth piece of legislation didn't make it into the National Security Defense Authorization Act, one of the most important bills that the Congress passes every year. In other words, where's our UAP legislation, right? I have to tell you that if you put this in the context of the last 77 years, going back to Roswell, that's interesting. The simple truth is that we're in an unprecedented place. It's taken 7 years, certainly the last five, to get here. And what is that place I'm referring to? The truth embargo, as I came to call it many years ago, is collapsing. It's literally falling apart, right? Like a sandcastle that you've built so nicely that's been sitting on the beach for 77 years, and suddenly kids are running through it, right? And driving their bicycles through it and whatever. It's just falling apart. I think almost anybody that is aware of the issue on Capitol Hill, in our Congress, and anybody in the Department of Defense that has any understanding of this at all knows this, as well as, again, a huge number of civilians, people in major companies, multi-billion-dollar companies, they're aware of this. The truth embargo is collapsing. And so we're going to get a confirmation here pretty soon from a head of state. There may be other people that'll get in front of a camera and say, no, there's there's extraterrestrials here, or we're not alone here, and what have you. That's fine. We'll take all of that we can get. But until a head of state confirms it, and by that, head of state of one of the nuclear nations would be one way to put it. I mean, let's face it, those that are the head of states of a nuclear nation have a certain gravitas that the others don't have, but there are a few countries that don't have nukes but are pretty important countries. Whatever. The first head of state that comes forward and confirms it, undoubtedly showing some evidence or providing evidence that would be useful, the others will follow quickly. There's no way they're going to hang back. Like, I'm the president of such and such, and I don't believe any of this nonsense. No. This is the biggest thing ever, and everybody's going to want to be on stage. So we're close. The question is, which head of state will be first? It still pretty much is the U.S. In the lead here as we're moving to the finish line. It's still out in front, primarily because a lot of the other runners are literally holding back, and a couple of other runners can't make up their mind whether they want to do this. So it's still something for the U.S. to do. We had a pretty good chance of getting it done in the last year and a half. We had a very good chance of getting it done back in 2017, but things went a different way. And then it's reemerged in this last 18 months or so. We had another chance. But circumstances in the world continue to be very dramatic, very concerning. There's always something going on. I get it. There's always some crisis somewhere. But to be true, to be fair, we're facing multiple crises, very intense, consuming the interest, concern, and attention of our government and our political leaders. And at the same time, we're facing those crises overseas. We're in the middle of extraordinary political turmoil in the United States, which it's not like other countries don't have political turmoil, but it's probably as bad as we've seen since the Civil War. Not that bad, but pretty bad. And so the net effect of it is they couldn't get done, right? Plenty is happening. Plenty is moving in that direction. We couldn't finish it off. And by finishing it off, meaning confirmation from the president, which happens to still be Joseph Biden. I do not think it's going to happen. It would require a major hearing this month. And that's highly unlikely at this point. However, there's another president coming on board on January 20. And the stage is pretty much set. There's been about, I don't know, 8 or 9 hearings now since July the 26th of 2023, about 8 or 9. Prior to that, there hadn't been one for 55 years. And there were 2 half-day hearings back in 68, 66. Now there's been 9. We've had 4 pieces of legislation. The legislation didn't make it in this time. It was basically a repeat of what got cut in half last year. So it was the full package, which is a non-trivial thing that was attempted. But it didn't make it in. There were reasons for that. But the previous version of it, still intact, still law. And there are some things happening. But the legislative track has been established. Everybody kind of knows where that has to go. Right, been submitted, it's been voted on, it's been in committees. Everybody kind of knows the legislation that's going to ultimately take place. Witnesses continue to come forward, and there is a committed group in the House of Representatives that want disclosure. They have it. I don't know if they've used that term. I hope they do. If anytime they use the term disclosure or truth embargo, I just kind of perk up, right? These are primarily very conservative Republicans. However, there are several Democrats that are working with them. There is clearly awareness and interest by the Senate in the United States. Kirsten Gillibrand, Senator Gillibrand of New York, is the leader of that right now. But the most important person is Mark Warner, the chairman. But he will soon not be the chairman. And we will have a new Republican chairman of the Intelligence Committee in the Senate and a co-chairman of the Democrats. That's not going to really alter it much. So while And while all of this is in place, ready to kind of move forward, Arrow has gone through a difficult time, but has come out of it. It was in a very difficult spot. It did not, was not able to handle what was going on. It was more than it could deal with. And I have nothing but sympathy for that. But the director left. We have a new director that has come on who seems to be quite solid and interested in pursuing this and handling this in a right way. He was introduced by Senator Gillibrand on the 19th of November publicly and then interviewed privately. All of this is moving towards disclosure. All right. At the same time, something is going on in the sky. Not that there's always not something going on in the sky. I mean, I get stuff about lights in the sky and have been for 28 years. I get them from Facebook and Twitter and articles and so forth. They're coming in for all directions, and it's all very interesting. I really don't care. I mean, it's not about lights in the sky anymore. It hasn't been for a long time. But the interest in recording and reporting that is high. Everybody has a camera. That's good. And so we're getting this stuff constantly. But recently it's gone to another level. Something else is going on, which I'm trying to understand. I'm sure everybody else is. But it is best described and referred to as drone swarms. Drone swarms are happening at multiple places, multiple countries, almost all of which involve somewhat sensitive military facilities. Now, this harks back to the shutting down of our nuclear missiles many times in the 60s and the 70s. The total number, we don't know, but it's probably at least five or six, could be more than that. Plus in the in the Soviet Union as well. We don't have firsthand witnesses to that, but researchers have talked with those that say, hey, that happened there. Could have happened in China. This goes back, this harks back, but this is now, you know, the 2025. And so these drones are swarming around our ships and bases and other facilities, some of which are near populated areas. So while, you know, the people on the base may have, are not going to say anything, the people that live around it are filming them, right? And the articles about this are turning up all over the place. Dozens of them. I'm logging them in my print media archive. What is happening here? This is non-trivial. So for the benefit of your readers, let's just parse it out a little bit, okay? People buy drones. They got them, right? There are companies that have thousands of them, put huge displays up in the sky. Drones are really amazing. They can do all kinds of things. So these are almost always very small. Small drones are expensive. Large drones are incredibly expensive. And so that's not strange. What is strange is these things are flying near these facilities. Now, let me be clear. If you are a drone, by the way, they need to be piloted somewhere, right? I mean, you could program a drone, set it off, and it can go places. And then the program tells it to go into the Atlantic Ocean. Maybe, but overall, they got to be owned. They got to be run and put in place, okay? If you were to fly a drone over the White House, you could go to jail. Somebody almost did because the drone they were flying, you know, up the street here from where I'm at, kind of got away from them. And the next thing you know, it's flying over the White House. Eh, they got a visit. Okay. You want to fly drones over a military facility or a ship somehow? You're operating from, I don't know, a fishing boat nearby with the lights turned off. They're going to get you. They're going to sentence you to jail. They're going to fine you a lot of money. But first, they're going to blow your drone out of the sky. I mean, I don't know why people are not getting that. All right. We're so used to the extraordinary now that we're sort of, it's all normalized, right? Anything, no big deal. But for those that aren't paying attention, the mass destruction, a good deal of the destruction, perhaps most of the destruction of the military hardware in the Ukrainian-Russian war, which has now killed, God knows, 200,000 people minimum, are by drones, militarized drones. They literally come down and blow the tank up. So anybody that thinks that the United States Navy is going to allow drones swarming around its ship, any one of which could come down and hit the right spot and sink the destroyer, that we're not going to shoot them down, is naive in the extreme. And that's exactly what has been reported. Filmed. This is 2 years ago, by the way. So this is not just brand new. This has started a couple of years ago. So, and then it's like, well, you know, what can you do? All right. Then they started around bases. Same thing, right? If one of those things was piloted by a human and had explosives and actually went down and blew up a part of the base, there all hell would break loose. All kinds of people would be up for trial, court-martial, losing their jobs. The people behind it would probably go to prison the rest of their life, and on, nothing is happening. What is happening is the government's reporting there's drone swarms, and that's it. So let's be clear. This is not just another example of people having fun, some kids playing with drones. This is really serious. Not only, well, because not just because they're drone swarms, but they're multiple sizes, including large, the size of cars. I can assure you, go on Amazon, try to buy a drone the size of a car, see how much it's going to set you back. And so this is all happening while we are right up against possibly getting disclosure in the middle of a lot of typically human chaos. So it's, you know, impressive. I mean, I don't have any easy answers here, except there's only a couple of scenarios that, you know, you could maybe grab, some of which are kind of ridiculous, but yet we don't know. One of them is that they're setting us up for a false flag. They're going to do this for a while, and then at some point, some of these drone swarms are going to sink an aircraft carrier. We're going to blame it on the extraterrestrials and immediately start arming ourselves to the teeth, right? Whatever, right? You know, that's a possibility. I give it a very low possibility. Could it be a foreign nation? No. Right. If a foreign nation is flying drones near our ships, we're going to blow them to hell, right? Then we're going to identify what nation they come from. We're going to confront them. There's going to be sanctions. There's going to be negotiations and threats, and all kinds of hell is going to break loose. Could it be us droning ourselves? Some super deep state, the real deal, operating completely outside of any and all authority that has the capability of building, maintaining, manufacturing, and operating huge numbers of drones and swarming them around facilities in order to make some sort of statement to us, from us, right? In other words, a breakaway civilization like Richard Dolan talks about. Could be. Is there evidence for that? Not really. The likelihood of being able to pull it off, almost zero. And so what does that leave us? Well, it leaves me with just one explanation that could account for all of the things that are being reported. It's ETs, okay? Commonly referred to as non-human intelligence, because extraterrestrial is still too many syllables. I get it. It's hard to spell. Very difficult. Took me years to spell it right. Okay. E.T. All right, fine. E.T. is easy. We do it. It's E.T.s. Okay. But they're not from stars, Steve. They're from another dimension. I don't care. And I assure you the military doesn't care where they're from. Whether they're from another dimension or whether they're from the future, the fact that they're swarming our ships is a big deal. The fact that we don't do anything about it is a big deal. So in other words, why does that fit the criteria? The evidence that we have. If they're non-human tech, there's some very good reasons why we would not shoot them, right? There are two that come to mind. One, it won't work. There is one film that's turned up that contends that this is an example of trying to shoot them down and it's not working. Hasn't been validated, I don't know, but the idea that they probably couldn't do it wouldn't shock me. Secondly, if they are non-human, shooting them down, well, that's poking the bear, a very big bear. And you're thinking, well, they're not blowing up our ships or doing any damage. They're just hanging out. So why create a problem you don't have? That is the only thing that fits these circumstances. And if it's not that, I am dying to find out what it is. And so then my next question is, why? Why suddenly would non-human technological entities from wherever the hell start putting drones up?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Some of these sightings are light, right? So they could be plasmas. I happen to think the ETs are the master of plasmas. They can work with it like we work with clay, do anything they want, whatever, right? Why would, is there a reason they would do this? And the obvious one comes to mind. We are really close to ending this truth embargo, which opens the door for a full global engagement of everything that we know about this that's been withheld, which will come out and everything else, and confirmation, legitimacy, all that. So the world becomes ET'd from pole to pole, which opens the door for an engagement, all right? Sort of an open engagement, which I guess they could trigger at any time, but this seems to be the approach they're taking, all right? And so, but we're not doing it. You know, we're stuck. We can't get there, which wouldn't necessarily be such a bad problem, except that China is still thinking about it can take Taiwan, right? We're sending aircraft carriers out there. Meanwhile, you can't go a week without some person in Putin's sphere telling the press, you know, he could use a nuke anytime. Scenarios literally being presented, meaning, okay, he does a nuke, it'll immediately create a nuclear, you know, zone you can't get into, and it'll force Ukraine to sue for peace. This has been going on for a year and a half. Meanwhile, they're testing hypersonic missiles. He just used a hypersonic missile. I could go on. Meanwhile, the Middle East is blowing up. And so it could be that the ETs are saying, look, you guys are in a heap of trouble here. And we need to move on with this process because it's important to your future and to your near-term viability. And we're ready to do that, right? So get it done. In other words, these drone swarms are an attempt to ETs to escalate the situation to finally get us to get this done and get a head of state out there to tell the world the truth, at least the fundamental truth, and provide the evidence to back it up. And the obvious question is, why the hell does they just don't put 50 ships over every major city in the world? Big ones, you know, like Independence Day, and just end this. I don't know. You'd have to ask them. I can guess. They would consider that too disturbing, too aggressive, whatever. They seem to have an agenda. They go about things in a certain way. That's the best I can do, Andy. But that's what's going on right now. It's unprecedented. I'm both excited and worried. But again, I'm much more worried about a human fiasco being triggered than I am the ETs doing anything. And so at this point, I'm between those two places.
Stephen, I've been frantically scribbling notes. You probably noticed as you were talking. So
fire away. Hit me.
Yeah. I'm going to walk it back to the start. But first off, you know when you mention if it's ET and why don't they put 50 ships over every nation capital? What if they don't have 50?
Oh, they got 50. 50 ships, believe me. Do you realize how many sightings that have been had in the last 70 years? Probably in the millions. Hundreds of thousands have been reported. Hundreds of thousands of contactees have recorded being taken. That requires a lot of hardware, Andy.
I mean, I'm going to use, we're in December, Stephen. You know, Santa can deliver to everyone with one sleigh at night because he has this manipulation of time. And if you just change that to a species that maybe has 10 craft but has control of space and time, then they don't need all these craft. They could be using a small number of craft and doing this at their will, because 10 minutes for them is, you know, 100 hours for us. Just a thought, you know. We don't know they've got all these craft, but...
Well, Andy, I will say this. I think you've made history tonight. I think you made history. You don't know why? Because I think you are the first person ever on a camera to connect ETs to Santa Claus. I think you made some history here. You know, I mean, no disrespect.
No, go on.
Santa Claus, who apparently is, you know, getting, you know, very soon going to be showing up in a lot of houses and making kids very happy. I don't celebrate Christmas myself. We don't need to go into the reasons for that. Let's just say that I try to stick pretty much to basics, all right, until I get really heavy evidence for time-traveling ETs. I'll assume they move pretty much in our world the way we do. We have contactees that have reported frequently that they are taken in ships. However, they are also taken into places. In other words, the nature of their surroundings for them clearly doesn't seem like a ship, which means it's almost certainly a base. And the idea of ET bases is now pretty well established. Not surprisingly, because they're ETs, they're very hard to get to. They have skills. They have a certain set of skills. And so bases, which we can't get to, able to contain quite a few craft, allowing them to operate at will, and deal at the level they've been dealing with in terms of certainly the contactee phenomena, that's all pretty basic. And so a lot of ships. But that doesn't mean we can see them. We know that they can cloak, and then they can suddenly show up, things like that. I mean, they're very clever. They've got great tech. I mean, we all agree to that, right? Yes. We don't know exactly. We got great tech. And so they have been able to conduct their affairs on this planet for this modern era of 77 years at will, with virtually no, well, the only constraints they have, ETs have, is their own agenda. Not us per se. In other words, they have things they want to do. They have a plan for how this is going to unfold, and they either are seen or not seen going here or there based upon that. I think while there are certain events and sightings that are kind of accidental, meaning it wasn't planned, but overall they do what they want, when they want, how they want. And they have a limit on how they conduct themselves. And that limit is short of triggering global disclosure from us. But it is certainly not hurting the effort of citizens of countries to get their governments to end this embargo. I mean, there's no question. All these sightings and all everything you can refer to, right, which is intensified in the last years, but it's been around to a significant degree going back to World War II. So there's something unfolding here, and unless a very good explanation for these drone swarms comes forward, I'm going to assume that this is the ETs trying to get this job done. This is not the same thing as a Chinese weather balloon coming down from high altitude with a leak. No. And a couple of other balloon devices were shot down. Might not have been us. Might have been Chinese. Might have been something else. I think there were three. It was a huge deal was made of it. But let us remember, three floating devices. One clearly a Chinese surveillance balloon that was, which is supposed to fly over the country at about 80,000 feet. And, you know, we just let them go, right? Because we do the same thing. It got a leak, came down too low. It's in the air lanes. People are seeing it. What are you going to do, right? You're gonna tell all the airlines, you know, don't fly near the Chinese surveillance balloon until it gets over the country. No, they had to shoot it down. And now we've got swarms over multiple places in multiple parts of the country, including our warships, and we're doing nothing. That tells you there is a big difference between what the hell is flying around right now and getting reported by the press and a Chinese surveillance balloon. And what is that difference? I'm suggesting it's extraterrestrial. So we'll see. So anyway, yeah, that's my answer to that question.
Let me play devil's advocate then on that, because it'd be very easy for me to sit here and agree with you. And where's the fun in that?
Hit me with your best shot.
So regarding these drone swarms, and I got a really mixed response to this. I had Tim McMillan on from the debrief recently, and Tim lives on an Air Force base, US Air Force base out in Germany, investigative journalist, and he is very much on the side. These objects are drones. He believes they would be from Moscow. He thinks the ones in the UK right now, I don't know if you're aware, we've got 4 US bases in the UK that have been encountering drone swarms now for 3 or 4 weeks. These sites, 2 of them at least, are rumoured to house nuclear weapons or nuclear material, which, you know, shock horror, we would see a correlation there. He believes that the drones are likely being launched from container ships about 30 miles off the coast of where these bases are, or from somewhere inland. Now, something I remember from when we had the drones, remember the triangular objects, drones that were seen over UAP, over the ships that Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp released?
Weren't all triangles, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Now, out there, that's where I learned about these ships having Snoopy teams and going dark. So when these objects come overhead, they turn as much off as they can, and they allow these objects to observe. And what they do is send a team out on deck to also observe. And it's a little bit of a cat and mouse where we're watching them, they're watching us. We don't want to bring these down, because it then, one, shows what kind of let's call them drones for the moment, anti-drone technology we have, and, you know, what we may do in the event of a war scenario. So it's kind of keeping your cards close to your chest, because they would expect them to observe as well. So I would ask you, with a lot of these drone swarms at the moment, with Moscow and Putin posturing the way they are, it seemed to happen around the time that the US and UK had sent missiles to Ukraine, and I'm not particularly close to the details of the Ukraine conflict and war and all that kind of stuff, but it happened around that time. Would it not make sense potentially that these are Russian drones, and it's Putin doing what he does and posturing and trying to intimidate or cause a hassle or cause a bit of a mess? And that's why these objects are being left, albeit that doesn't explain everything, but I'm just trying to look at both sides of if this is something anomalous, if it's something more prosaic.
That wouldn't be prosaic. If Tim feels that way, put the evidence out there, partner. Let's see some heavy evidence for this. Essentially, Russian drones acting this way would be an act of war. If we put drones around a Russian ship, they'd blow them to hell. There have been several situations of encounters of planes in the sky that have come close to that. The Russians once shot down a Korean airliner that just kind of, you know, just got a little bit lost and flew over Russian territory. Blew it right out of the sky. So the idea that we would allow Russian drones to swarm in this way, even over our territory, land, I think the odds are 1 in 10,000, but it's possible. There is a fundamental built-in worldview resistance to the idea of extraterrestrials. And I get that. I understand that. And it varies from person to person. It is the greatest paradigm shift of all time. And so for most of the last 77 years, we have heard every conceivable alternative explanation to this phenomena. And occasionally, the explanation for a particular event turns out to be prosaic. But the vast number of events that were not explained is because no prosaic explanation would work, but they keep throwing them out there, right? And we're still in that place. It is hard to accept this. I get it. But let me be clear. I hope to God Tim McMillan is wrong. Because if, in fact, Russia is launching drones from container ships to be able to swarm our vessels at sea and flying drones over our territory in the United States, then we are even that much closer to nuclear war. And that's not good. So I do hope he's wrong.
This podcast is sponsored by Public Rec. It's been wonderful hearing from so many of you who have used my promo code and got yourself or a partner a nice deal over this holiday period. But there's still time left, folks, to grab 25% off over at Public Rec. No matter what you have planned over this festive period, Public Rec's Daymaker pants, of which I've actually used my own code to buy a second pair, are the pants for the occasion. It might be a busy football season, it could be family get-togethers, or even my favourite pastime, going to the cinema on my own. And I'm not joking, you can't beat going to the cinema on your own. Or even listening to any of the That UFO podcast content due this kind of Christmas holiday period. There is loads about to drop. So yeah, Daymaker pants are a good shout for that. The choices over at publicrec.com are fantastic, and at this time of year, treat yourself, treat a partner, treat a friend to something nice for your or their wardrobe. And I truly thank you for doing so, because when you use my unique code, it helps me and the podcast. So stop suffering in regular pants and give the gift of comfort this holiday season. For a very limited time only, shop their holiday sale and get 25% off at publicrec.com. That's publicrec.com to unlock the best savings of the year. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them I sent you. Give yourself or someone you love the gift of comfort this holiday. And like you say, the US, the UK, China, Russia, they all spy on each other. They all do this stuff to each other. This just seems to have caught the media's attention this time. This stuff has happened before. Like, they have flown drones and stuff over each other. We mentioned the Chinese spy balloon. As much as that was accidentally, it's almost comical that it fell to a lower altitude than it should have been at. It wasn't an act of war. The US just shot it down because they all surveil and spy on each other. Now, the US could have postured, but they didn't go and launch an attack on Beijing from there.
Well, first of all, It the reason it came down and got into an area that was problematic was not deliberate.
No,
it sprung a leak. Okay, and so right away, it's not really considered an aggressive act. And yes, we do I think the same thing. We're talking about high altitude balloons floating high. We're not talking about highly maneuverable drones of some size, sometimes the size of cars, swarming in close. Totally different. Okay. I don't know how to say this any simpler. There is no way, zero possibility, that this kind of act on the part of a foreign nation would go with a, we don't know what it is, there's nothing we can do about it. Not a chance in hell, right? You can't even, if you want to get in a skiff or something or a fishing boat and try to cruise up next to a warship in the Gulf of Aden, they blow you to bits. If you cruise up against an oil tanker, they will now shoot you from the deck. All right. And so again, people have got to kind of let it go. All right. Let it go. We don't want this to be true. And it almost certainly is not true. Right? What is happening here is a level of sophistication and intent beyond anything we have seen between these two countries. You know, the Soviets got the idea of maybe putting a few missiles in Cuba. We found out about it pretty quickly. They had to bring the damn things in by ships. Made a big deal. It was all filmed. Right. And eventually they turned around and went back. Now, that was an incursion that could have led to nuclear war and almost did. This is way beyond that. Okay. And so if Tim is saying that, yeah, some of them cold nuclear materials, I mean, all I can say, I like him. I'd like to debrief. I love those guys. They've done great work. But if you're talking about that, you had better back it up, because you're putting out there that this stuff is possibly nuclearized or has nuclear weapons, and they're going around over our own bases in this country, and our government is not saying anything about it. That's the kind of thing that creates panic. That's the kind of thing, and one of the reasons why, and I just tweeted about this. I say tweeted because I just like that. I prefer to say tweeted.
I think most do, yeah.
And this explains our current zeitgeist pretty well, is that on December the 20th, a film is going to premiere, okay? And the film is about what happens after a nuclear bomb destroys Los Angeles and the post-apocalyptic things that go on afterwards, right? And it's being released on December 20th as a Christmas movie. I'm not kidding. They're calling it a Christmas movie. That's where the zeitgeist is now. And while it's funny and amusing, it could stop being funny really fast. And so I live in a world now where, and I wouldn't have predicted this, the extraterrestrial explanation for stuff in many cases, right, makes more sense than the prosaic explanations at a degree that's almost amusing. In other words, there was a time when very smart people like Carl Sagan and others were going to great effort using their intellect and extraordinary experience to provide profound prosaic explanations for what seemed to be unusual and anomalous and hard to figure out. Those were the golden days. Now it's different. Now people with a considerable understanding of the history of this issue and this phenomena and the cases and everything else are providing substantive non-prosaic explanations for absurd prosaic explanations being put forward by authority. Right. And the only reason that that doesn't collapse right away is that in this reverse scenario, it's the authorities that are trying to say, you know, it's this or that, or I don't know, and so forth. So the tables have been turned. And that is just another reason why the truth embargo has got to end, because all of this is embarrassing. It's embarrassing to the galaxy. For us as a species, it's embarrassing to the United States as a nation. It's embarrassing to, you know, the people that serve the country and the military intelligence complex. Everybody is looking like idiots here. And that's not good, right? We need to get past that. So, again, I await more information about these drone swarms. Until I get furthermore, I really am comfortable with something non-human is going on.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And in the near 5 years I've done the podcast, I get more and more now people from all different sides of arguments looking to get, you know, their point of view across. So I like to try and represent as many views as possible. Sure. Yeah. So let's go with, at the minute, this is ET, non-human, whatever your favorite adjective is. Normally with a sighting, it happens over the space of a few minutes, a couple of hours, and it's done, and it doesn't repeat night after night after night. There are some examples in history, okay? This particular incident is going on now quite a while, and like you say, Stephen, it's spread to other countries. If we just take the UK incidents in isolation, it's now been several weeks worth of this, but they always happen at night. If it's ET, do you have any hypotheses as to why we aren't seeing them during the day then?
Because they don't want us to. It's like, why do they, most of the abductions, call it abductions, of contactees take place at 2 a.m. because they would prefer not to do it at 2 p.m. for obvious reasons, right? I mean, they do what they want to do when they want to do it. But if you look at their behavior, it shows that there is a certain amount of circumspection about how exposed they want to be. And one day I hope we get an explanation for it. We actually have the ETs explain it to it. This is why we did this, and this is why we did that, and so forth. That would be nice. I'd like to get it in my lifetime. That would be fun. But they do what they do for the reasons they do it. Now, they have told contactees on many occasions, generally, why they're doing some of these things. And that is because we are headed towards very catastrophic outcomes. And the examples of, if the money, if we get some real money into this field, I mean, some of these billionaires out there that drop in 20, 30, 50 million, 60, 2 billion bucks to elect somebody who then loses the election or whatever, or God knows what else. If we could actually get even a tiny taste of that, we could be doing levels of analysis that are far surpassed anything we can do now, such as doing a full assay of the hundreds of thousands of contactee reports that are sitting in files in researchers all around the world. But from what has sort of gotten out, right, we have just recently the death of a wonderful woman named Emily Trim, only 41, who was famous because she was one of the Ruah, the aerial school kids that were in the playground that actually had messages put in by ET standing outside of their craft. A very heavily researched case, highly established. It did not, a lot of these kids did not do well. It has affected them badly in a negative way. I think it definitely caused a lot of trauma for her. Anyway, she died of cancer at 41. They've done that at multiple schoolyards. This has happened more than a few times. So they land, they get out, and they project these images into kids' head that seem to have implied that this is a catastrophic future that you're heading for. It's not a future version of a predestined future. It's not a vision of a predestined future, meaning this is what's going to happen. So sorry, no. And then there are instances where they're actually more, I think, distinct in dealing with contactees, like on the ships or whatever, where they're kind of saying, look, you guys are screwing up here. You gotta deal with this. Now, again, why that? Why not just come down, turn all nuclear weapons off, scare the hell out of us, tell us to get in line, or we're going to, you know, make you all disappear, whatever. I don't know.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
I don't have much experience with dealing with other planets and the civilizations on those planets. They do. Right? But this has been going on for quite a while. And now that, and all of that, you know, so the aerial school was an event. It put some images and concepts into the heads of a bunch of school kids who then carried that through their lives. Some of them got involved in this issue, some did not. But the case did get investigated. It got investigated thoroughly. It was written up in several books. A documentary was done. And so that is just one of countless incidents and events and pieces of information that has emerged over the last 77 years that ensures that the effort to end this truth embargo continues. It's just more grist for the mill. And so everything that they have done over the past 70 years, to the extent that it was knowable, seen, and understood, which obviously doesn't include all the things they've done that we have no idea, right? Just the stuff that we know about. Whatever the fundamental purpose of it was. It had a secondary effect. It helped to ensure that the citizen engagement of this issue and the desire to know the truth about it and to even confront governments about that would continue. It would not stop. And so I believe that has always been a secondary aspect of their activities here. And if it's intended to continue that, to what end? To me, the end has to be disclosure. And that leads to what end? I believe open contact. And that leads to what end? Well, that's when things get obviously much more difficult to project. I hope we have the opportunity to actually engage that time. But first, we have to get disclosure. So that's the best way I can put it.
No, that's well put. And thank you for mentioning Emily Trim passing, because this is the first time I've recorded since she did. And unfortunately, in the last few weeks, I think there's been a few people passed away, including Chris O'Brien as well. He passed away. Literally, I was meant to interview him the following day. We'd been conversing via email, and it just seems a very sad time of year for that. And Emily was no age at 41, but has a legacy in her part following on from Ariel. And if people want to go and check out Randall Nickerson's documentary, Ariel, it's a wonderful piece, and Emily's a big
fan of
that. Yeah,
absolutely. And I don't know, that movie needs to get a lot more exposure. It was very tough to get done. It took forever and ever and ever. And for whatever reason, Hollywood just really wouldn't embrace it. Who knows? When it comes to movies, making them and/or promoting them, it's unbelievably complicated. But it's that movie will have a second life. Okay. We also lost Howard Hughes. Yes. A guy I really loved, and I've done his show countless times. They haven't given a cause of death. He was not old, but he was not young. But I'm sure it was an illness. Kept it to himself, and then he was gone. And we're going to lose more people, right? And that's life, okay? That's life. But an awful lot of people invested a lot of their time and passion into just getting the truth of this. And it's until governments get out of the lying business as an institutional form of governance, particularly in any form of democracy, autharitarian states, lying and doing awful things is part of the deal. Like Assad, that's what he did, but now he's had to flee and they're starting to empty out his execution chambers, whatever. But until we get into the truth business, the people's lives are literally wasted. And they're not wasted. It's just that it isn't necessary, right? These people could have been doing other things. They could have been engaging the post-disclosure world decades ago, right? And of course, the sequestration of the technology, making it unavailable to the entire intellectual power of the human race, has limited its development, and on and on. It could go on and on and on. This has been and probably will be considered the most costly lie in all of human history. And it's really a lie that's only 77 years. If you go back before that, it's not so much a lie. They knew whatever. Back in ancient times, and they're practically living amongst the ancient Egyptians, God knows. But that's then. This is now. We are a fully advanced global civilization with 8 billion people. And so this lie, 77 years on, histories will look back and say the cost of that lie was astronomical. And that's one reason, and one reason enough, why it has to end, and it cannot end soon enough.
A final piece on the drone situation / UAP / objects, whatever people, wherever you fall down on those arguments, folks. I think, Stephen, I'm probably on a different side to the fence of you. I'm still sitting on the fence with this, but I'm leaning still slightly more towards the drone side. However, something I truly hope comes of this is that more and more members of the public are comfortable filming lights in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
And from this, if this indeed potentially fizzles out and we don't get anything revealing itself from these incidents, especially in the UK, because we're so much further behind the public wanting to film stuff in the sky than in the US particularly, I'm hopeful that people pull out their phones, take videos of lights, daytime, nighttime, whenever it may be, and they post them online, because you do get a very quick usual debunking or further analysis. And that's a big hope for me from this.
Well, yeah, I think it's okay. I think, and there's no question that people are filming more. There's no question they're looking at the sky more. And that may account for the extraordinary increase in sightings. But I think it's more than that. I think the ETs are jacking up the program. But it's always been the case that a film of lights in the sky does not prove anything. It's just a little bump. That's why one of the phrases I came up with many years ago is going to go up on my new website, which is under construction right now. I'm redesigning it, having some problems because I screwed up a couple of things in the WordPress. Hate that. It's not no longer about lights in the sky. It's about lies on the ground. We don't need any more proof. We are up to our ears in proof. We simply need confirmation. The truth embargo managers who refuse to give up on this would be happy for us to film and debate lights in the sky for the rest of this century until they're dead and gone and don't have to answer any tough questions. And that's not the game I'm playing. Not at all. So, in fact, I've got something like 15,000 articles in my archive, print media archive on my website. But they're triage. I don't just put everything up. Some of it's ridiculous or silly. Some of it's, press. I mean, the media is, not important. It's small stuff. Just mainstream media. But for some time now, I don't put lights in the sky articles up. It's pointless.
I love that tagline. It's no longer about lights in the sky. It's about lies on the ground. That is good. That's a header for a website right there.
It sums up pretty much the last 25 years, at least 25 years. And it's the reason why the activist movement is so important.
Just before I ask you about the hearings, because we'll walk it back, because I've got some questions on those. Ross Coulthart has just come out and mentioned that there's something big coming this way in January. I think his wording on his latest podcast was all hell will break loose with the UAP UFO topic. Any wind of what you expect that to be?
Yeah, believe me, anything could happen at this point. Update you on some of the recent developments. Everybody knows about the hearing on the 26th July last year. David Grush had major impact, huge number of articles were written and so forth, and a huge number in the UK. By the way, the UK may not be filming much, but I assure you, the number of articles that are turning up in your press in the thousands, all right? And people say, well, they're just tabloids. No, they're not. They're tabloid newspapers, right? So whether it's the Express or the Mirror or the Independent or the Telegraph or even the Times of London, they're constantly running articles about this. And basically, they're relatively good articles. They're not making stuff up. The UK people that read papers are drenched in it. And of course, their sites, the UK paper sites, get some of the largest page visitor counts of sites in the world, billions of visitor counts, visitors, views, whatever, a year. And so the UK papers are helped to educate the entire English speaking world, right? So the UK people are not, left out on this, I assure you. So we had the Grush hearing. A lot happened. We had the legislation submission in 2023, massive, got cut in half, generated a huge amount of press, got resubmitted the next year. One of the most important developments is that while the Senate Intelligence Committee in the U.S., which is the higher house, you have the House of Lords, we have the Senate, right? Similar, right? But the Senate is only 100 members. Each one has more influence. They represent an entire state. And so the committees are more, how would you say, I don't know, gravitas. And so the Senate Intel Committee has been doing its thing. But the House has been doing its thing, and it's more aggressive. And so what happened ultimately, and people now just assume this has always been this way, no, is that a group of members of the House decided they're going to take this issue on head on. And they happen to be Republicans, but several Democrats are on board with them. The most famous are Burchett, Luna, and Mace, right? And then you have some Democrats like Garcia and Moskowitz, but these are members of the House. They formed a UAP caucus, the first such caucus in history. I predict it will get bigger. But they have been talking to the media very bluntly, saying there's ETs here. Matter of factly, now these are members of Congress saying this in front of a camera and having no political consequences. In fact, they're getting positive political consequences. And so they are the ones that held the first hearing since 1968, unless you want to count the hearing where Moultrie and Bray came up and chatted with some people in the Senate. I forget which. It might have been a subcommittee. And so that was kind of a hearing. But the first real hearing was the one conducted by the House subcommittee, led in that case by Tim Burchett, who led the hearing. Mr. Grossman is the chair. And then Mason Luna, Congresswoman Mason Luna, of course, were very important players. And that's the Grush hearing. Big deal. Okay. Well, after that, they continued to talk out, right? They continued to meet with witnesses. They tried to get in a skiff. They got in a skiff. And so, but a lot was going on until eventually they held another hearing. It took 16 months. And that was held on the 13th of November. The coverage of that was extreme. It was live streamed far more than the Grush hearing was. I mean, I don't know how many. It must have been 8 or 9 different live streams going out to the world. And of course, it was filmed and it's now archived. God knows how many millions of people are going to see that hearing and how many millions of people have seen the Grush hearing. That's two. The second hearing had 4 witnesses and covering a range of stuff, whereas the Grush hearing really had 3 witnesses, but only covering basically one fundamental area. So this hearing, which involved Luis Elizondo, Mike Gold, Michael Schellenberger, and Tim Gallaudet, if you read their backgrounds, go watch it. You will see a very powerful multi-issue presentation covering a lot of territory and getting some excellent questions. There was a particular emphasis on a breaking story involving a possible USAP called Immaculate Constellation. A summary of that report was provided to Schellenberger. And somehow that did, I think it was Elizondo or somebody submitted it in for the record. So that went into the record. I'm sure the DOD was not happy about that. They tried to block Mace from going there. And she basically told them, GFY, it's like they went ahead and joked about being on their list. She's not on their list, but whatever. They gave it a shot, but it's not going to work anymore. And so that was a significant hearing. All right. But after that hearing, things happened. And this is the way it works. You get to a level when things start to metastasize or go nuclear with neutrons flying off and hitting other atoms, whatever the hell. Right. And so because this hearing was known to be coming, because this issue has got to another level, other organizations are moving to take advantage of it, to work on it, work off of it. And so you had the hearing in the morning started at 1:30? No, 11:30. You had the hearing in the morning, starts at 11:30. In order to get in, you needed to get there by about 5 a.m., unless you cut in line. I got in there at 5 a.m. It was 30 degrees. There were people already sleeping on the sidewalk. Ultimately, by the time we got in, there was so much cutting in line. We started in, came in around, I think, was it 22, and ended up getting in around 80, but we did get in the room. And so the energy level in the hallway with all the people waiting was sky high. You had 15, 20, 30 people filming everything, interviewing, high-fiving, the whole 9 yards. The hearing takes place. And then 30 minutes after that, there was a planned briefing that had to be in the park nearby, just a half a block away, because you can't hold those under the current rules in on the facilities or on the outside of the facility. So just very close. I had about 100 people show up, and MUFON and the New Paradigm Institute basically made a presentation, a briefing to about 100 people and a few press. And that was led by Jim Garrison, who's the Washington director of the New Paradigm Institute. He introduced Ron James, who is the head of media for MUFON, who then introduced David McDonald, who's the chairman of the board of MUFON. Then Danny Sheehan also spoke, who is the chief counsel for the New Paradigm Institute. I was able to speak for a few minutes. I introduced Robert Salas, one of the nuclear weapon shutdown witnesses, the leader of the witness group that has been trying to testify for 30 years without getting the opportunity to do so. In fact, they'd been ghosted by their own government. And then there was a couple of other people, and that spoke, and that went on for about a half an hour. Very good. It's all filmed up on the internet. Okay. And then at 5:30, a little bit later, another new group called the UAP Disclosure Fund, a 501c for-profit political nonprofit, which has got some money behind it, based out of San Francisco, they spent a lot of money holding a VIP event up on the Hill with invites only to members of the press, certain members of Congress, certain witnesses. My invite got lost in the mail. It's okay. That's kind of a big deal. We don't know what happened, but no, they've been putting out a press release about it. That took place. And here's what else happened, right? There were, similar to what happened in July 26th of 2023, you had a number of journalists, a number of citizen journalists, citizen of our community. You also had podcasters there. You had documentarists there. And one of the podcasters, Tyler Roberts, had arranged to get a meeting with Mace, right? Now, Mace and Burchett have given a number of interviews to, like, Ron James, right? They're not afraid of this. They go on, you know, Burchett goes on Fox News. He goes on News Nation. So, I mean, they're out in front of the cameras. They're not doing interviews.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And so he got an agreement to have a meeting with her after this very long day that she was going to go through, I assure you. And he saw that Bob Salas was there, that I had brought him. Well, he had come and I'd gotten him in the room, and I was able to introduce him at the after briefing, right after the hearing. And he decided he should take Bob Salas along with him. That would be kind of cool. And so he talked to Bob. And then after they'd set that up, he realized, no, I should take Steve. Maybe he figured out that I've been working with these witnesses and trying to help these witnesses get hearings for some time, and said, you come. I said, great. And so what happened after that, and I can talk about this because it's out in the public. He's put the videos up. There's nothing private here. Is I arrived at 7, but they changed the time to 7:30. I didn't know. And so there's nobody in the office but the congresswoman and her comms director. I had a nice chat with the comms director. And then she came in and we had a 20-minute discussion. That's non-trivial, right? Talked about a number of things. And then Tyler Roberts showed up with Bob Salas, and we went into her office, and he filmed an interview between her, me, and Bob Salas, where he is presenting again to her, talking about the fact that he's been wanting to testify about the fact that he's a firsthand witness to these phenomena, this UAPs hovering over bases while our nuclear missiles are shut off, which can't happen. All right, it's impossible. And she listened very intently. This went on for 20 minutes. And then that was put into a larger presentation that he then put out on the net. Now, in addition to that, separate from what happened, I didn't expect this to happen, but as it was, in the previous 2 weeks before the hearing on the 13th, I had gone to the 10 House members most connected to this issue, most of which are on the House Oversight Committee, and I hand delivered a set of these. And what these are affidavits and witness statements of firsthand witnesses to the turning off of our nuclear weapons. They've been out there since 2019. They were presented to the media 5 years ago. The media did nothing. So I got a copy of these, hard copy, walked it into all 10 offices. And then I got a card for the appropriate staffer and mailed another hard set in through the regular mail. It probably got there 10 days later. And so that was already in those 10 offices, including Mace's office, leading up to the event that we had. But I did something else, because these three of these witnesses, I think it was Salas, Schindel, and Jameson, plus some others on other cases related to nukes, they testified for 3 hours at the citizen hearing on disclosure in 2013, which I produced at the press conference, the press building in the National Press Club here. And that video has been out there. The video of the whole 30 hours of testimony has been out there on the net or available on the website since 2014, right? But it's on YouTube for free now, I think with ads. So I went ahead and I sent the electronic version of their testimony to all of these offices, right? Leading into that. So now, in terms of the House, the most important people in the House of Representatives have been fully seated with that testimony. They now know all about it. Testimony that has been out there for 30 years with multiple attempts to get it in front of Congress, all failed. Books, documentary films, the works. Now it is seated through those 10 people, right? But it gets better, because then 6 days later, Kirsten Gillibrand, Senator Gillibrand of the House Intelligence Committee, indicated, finally put out a notice that she was going to hold a briefing herself in the Senate from her position on the Armed Services Committee. She's on both the Armed Services and the Intel Committee. And the room that was going to be held was announced very late, but of course I knew about it. And so 6 days later, I trotted on over to the Dirksen building to listen to and watch a hearing in a hearing room there. And it was like only 20 of us, because again, there wasn't a lot of advance notice on this. And so there were 20 of us in there. It was filmed again, live streamed. And Kirsten Gillibrand was a different kind of hearing. She brought in the new director of Arrow that's replacing Sean Kirkpatrick, a gentleman by the name of Koslowski. A very, very qualified, very important person. And she did Q&A with him on camera, and we watched that. But we also knew that she had given him a private interview prior to that. In other words, they met privately and then they met publicly. This is not unusual. Obviously, in a private setting, she can ask questions she might not be able to ask in a public setting. He could give answers he might not be able to give in a public setting. But it gets better, because we learned that that private meeting prior to the public briefing on the 19th was in a SCIF, a sensitive compartmented information facility, which you only use when you absolutely do not want what is being said to be picked up at all. So clearly questions and answers were given and received that could not be done in a public setting. This shows increased serious intent on the part of the Senate, both the Senate Intel and the Armed Services Committee. And so the public hearing basically introduced Koslowski. But again, these things tend to snowball once they reach a certain level. And so what happened after that meeting is that she exited to the front, not the back. Ron James, who has been interviewing people on the Hill for some time and I think has interacted with her, he approached her. I approached her and I was able to speak with her. And I gave her, people, a hard copy of this, right? Got the names of her chief aides, and she indicated personally that she would be happy to talk with Bob Salas, the SAC-based command officer who initiated the efforts to finally get the truth out about the fact our missiles have been shut down repeatedly by non-humans, all right? And so that is now hanging out there. And then in the 5 or 7, 10 days following that, up to about the end of, you know, October, not December, November, I went to all 16 offices of the Intel committee and gave them a hard copy of the affidavits. So I seated the Intel committee with these affidavits, and then I sent a staffer in each one of those offices the electronic version of it, as well as a link to the 3 hours of testimony. And so I'm getting to do my job. It's not always, I'm not always able to do stuff like that, because you need to get to a certain level when things start to metastasize. And so right now, as of the time we speak, the Senate Intel Committee is fully seated with the testimony of these witnesses, 9 of them. 4 of them are prepared to come for an interview like that, maybe even more. And at least 10 key people in the House have been seated with this testimony. Let me be clear. When we finally have the hearing that we have to have, and David Grush will certainly be there, and Elizondo will be there, the most powerful and important testimony that the world will hear under oath at that hearing will be the testimony of the firsthand witnesses, Command, Strategic Air Command officers, who were given the responsibility under the right circumstances to launch nuclear weapons that would kill millions of people. Their testimony, confirming what they have been trying to say for all these years, will be the most important. So, yeah, things are heating up on the Hill, and it could blow. However, I do not think we can have another hearing this year. It's possible that Mates may try to put the hearing together during the transition, the final phase of the transition in the U.S., because what happens in the U.S. is our new Congress takes over on January 3rd. The president comes into office on January 20th. There's a 17-day window there. But it is going to be an extremely intense time politically, because that is when all of the new president's nominations finally go before the Senate for votes. And it's going to be intense, all right, to say the least. And so I don't think a hearing could happen, but I wouldn't put it past Burchett or Mace or Luna. Could happen. But after the new president takes office, you can bet your bottom dollar there's going to be a hearing. And more importantly, the rumors are getting around that the new president is capable of doing this. He has answered about a dozen questions over the years, at least a dozen, maybe more. Not long answers, not comprehensive, but not dismissive. He's been bumped on it repeatedly. We also know that some of his people in his immediate circle are talking about it. And so you've got the House on fire. You've got the Senate briefed. You've got the laws basically intact. We just simply have half a bill. We need the rest of the bill. That could happen. And you're going to have a president disposed of this. And so I am saying that there is a very high probability that this thing finally ends in the first 60 days of the Trump administration. Now, it can happen two ways. The new president can inspire one or more committees. It could be a House committee. It could be a Senate committee to hold the hearing, the big one, the one that matters, that 15, 20 witness hearing for a week. The witnesses would be extraordinary. The effect will be extraordinary. Hundreds of millions of people will probably watch it in short order. And then, based upon that, come forward and say, yeah, I'm confirming we're not alone. Or he could simply come forward and say it, right? I'm the president. I've made some calls. It's been confirmed to me. We're not alone. And we're going to see some hearings right away, the House and Senate. So it could be the reverse of that. Either way, it gets the job done. And so that's how close we're getting. Now, that there will be some last-minute efforts on the part of certain members of the Truth Embargo Management Team, parked the DOD, parked over at some of the defense contractors, and so forth, to try to stave off the inevitable. It's not going to work, but they'll probably try. But I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is this, and this is one of the great coincidences of American history, or human history, to be honest with you. And it didn't have to be this way. Believe me, there is a sort of a connection here, but I assure you, if you replayed the 20th century over 1,000 times, it wouldn't necessarily, most times, wouldn't end this way. And that is this. As we get this close to disclosure, it just so happens we're this close to nuclear war. At the same time, literally, a terrorist nuke could go off in the Middle East tomorrow. A tactical could be used in the Ukraine tomorrow. An event in the Taiwan Straits could trigger a possible event leading to a nuclear exchange tomorrow. And so we're literally in a what down to the wire, right, race. And it's hard to know which is going to happen first. And so that is why when I say we could have disclosure in the first 60 days, what I really mean to say is we have to have disclosure in the first 60 days of the Trump administration, because if we don't, and one of these other things I just referred to has happened, I don't know when we'll have disclosure, and frankly, it may not matter anymore. That's how serious this is.
Very well put, and you answered a few questions that I was going to ask you during that, Stephen. Something that came up from, you mentioned this yourself, was that the Grush hearing to the hearing we had with Elizondo, Gold, Gallaudet, and Schellenberger, The Grush hearing seemed to have a bigger impact. Especially in the UK, there was a lot more interest from the media and the coverage, especially from radio, television, and the way it was being presented.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Some folks felt this time we were gearing up for hearings that were going to present whistleblowers who had potentially worked on legacy programs. People like those who wrote Immaculate Constellation would perhaps be there at the hearing. I think even one of the rumors beforehand would be Schellenberger on the day would step aside and someone would take his place that was part of those programs. And that may be a bit Hollywood, but, you know, there was talk of that, and that certainly would have had its impact. Do you feel, and I spoke to Tim Burchett the day after the hearings, and he did say they were trying to get other witnesses that they didn't manage to get over the line, That we need a different standard, maybe not better, but a different standard or caliber of witness if we indeed get another hearing that we haven't heard of before, that we don't know the names, because Schellenberger, Gold, while lesser known, Elizondo, Gallaudet were all out there, that we need some folks to come forward who, for lack of a better phrase, are like the scientist from Independence Day who literally has been underground for 25, 30 years working on alien craft. Is that where we're really getting to?
Well, that's where we're going, right? That's where we're going. We're not going there. Well, first of all, we're not going there at the pace of a lot of people, but that's a good thing. Expectations are higher and higher and higher, right? People are expecting more, demanding more, wanting more. That's good. I want them to be that way. All right. That's all right. They will get those witnesses eventually. Again, this is an incredibly complex situation involving the most profound event in human history. So yeah, but after 70 years, you know, this thing started to break in 2017, but after 70 years of just running around in circles, let me tell you, we're practically at warp speed. But let's talk about impact. I totally get it. Grush was like a star, and it was the first hearing of any of that type of substance in 55 years. And so it was total Hollywood. It's fantastic. Okay. So it had impact of that type. The second hearing had impact of a different type, but every bit is important, maybe more important. What do I mean? What you had in the second witness hearing was not a single witness coming forward with a particular piece of information that may be possibly violating an NDA. It's pretty spectacular, secondhand, whatever, gets people's attention. Oh, and it drops the idea of non-human tech, non-human bodies, which of course is a big deal, except that every colleague of mine and everybody that wrote the books behind me have known about the fact that there's non-human tech, non-human bodies here for decades, right? But still, for the general public, big deal. The second hearing was different. It was four people with different backgrounds, very credible, covering a range of issues, right, that overlapped and reinforced each other, right? An admiral, right? A former member of Army Intel who'd been involved in the issue in other ways. Mike Gold, who was involved in space, both in terms of NASA, in terms of contractors and so forth. And then, of course, Schellenberger standing in for Anonymous, who was the one that delivered access to those classified files, which almost certainly broke the law. And didn't give them the actual files or direct copies because that would have taken it even further into lawlessness, but gave him a summary apparently, which then he was able to finally get into the record. So it's pretty cool, but nevertheless, so that's your Grush part. But those are all very substantive people, not a single individual who's getting death threats that's coming forward to try to protect himself because he is being threatened and getting that information out. This is the kind of hearing that has impact on politicians, on academics, on the publishers of newspapers, the producers of television, high-end television programs. That's the kind of testimony that they want to see, right? It gets their attention. And so in that sense, it had extremely significant impact. It just wasn't on the people that are following as a general public. So it served a different audience. There will be more hearings serving different audiences. There will be more Grushes, right? The only question is how many before we get this done, right? We don't need 50 hearings to do this. This is a nonpartisan issue. You can have 50 hearings on something, but it's usually a hyper-partisan issue where they're holding one after another, not to get to the truth, but to drive the other side nuts. This is not this. This is very nonpartisan. This is very real, very serious. Everybody's taking it seriously, I assure you. And so we've already got quite a bit out the door. We need to finish the job. And the question is, will it be in the House or in the Senate? I am starting to think that the House could do it and maybe deserves it because the Senate has been too timid. But then the Senate has these higher levels of responsibility. But I think I can fairly say that if the House Armed Services Committee or the Oversight Committee, not a subcommittee, and by the way, Mace is on both, were to bring in the 15 to 20 witnesses and hold the 1 week hearing that we have to have, that will blow this issue, that blow the truth embargo completely up. That's enough. The Senate can stand off, just kind of, wishing them well, thumbs up and all that, and then move in later after disclosure. So I think a House hearing could do the job, and that may be where it is. But again, it's going to take a hearing bigger than Grush. It's going to take one bigger than the one we just had. It's going to take a hearing with 20 witnesses, with five or six Grushes. And in particularly, it's going to have 3 to 4 to 5 nuclear tampering shutdown witnesses who have the highest quality background you could have. I mean, you just can't be more solid than somebody that has served in the Air Force and been given the responsibility of launching nukes if the president sends the right codes. You don't just pick people off the street for that job. And those are the kind of people who have been pursuing this to death. Some have died. They continue to ride up to the day they died. But the ones that are still alive are continuing. So I think a House hearing like that could do it. That's where we're headed. And I I have no preferences here. My work is nonpartisan. This position is nonpartisan. I will work and talk with any member of the Senate, any member of the House, and I have colleagues that are in the same position. If they're committed to getting this truth out to the world.
That is all for part one. Part two will be out in the next couple of days. You can listen to this episode already in full, ad-free, and with no sponsors for less than the price of a coffee. If you head on over to Patreon or Apple, you can subscribe to the podcast for less than the price of a coffee or take up the 2 weeks free trial that are available on those platforms. You can head on over to Spotify and search That UFO Podcast Premium and get access to this episode in full, no adverts, no sponsorships, and also with some extra bonus content as well. Thanks for listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And folks,
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.